kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title here for us to consider, and we're calling the teaching today, There Must Be a Love for the Truth. There must be a love for the truth. And I want to take this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 12. Now, Paul is speaking here in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians of the great apostasy, the falling away, and I believe that we are experiencing that. We are seeing this before our very eyes. We hear it in the news, in Christendom, and so on. There is this falling away. And something very important the apostle says here in verses 8 to 12. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So note the words here that is being used. It's speaking about God's word, what comes out of his mouth, and also the brightness of his coming. In other words, God is light. So there are these two things to consider: the word, what comes out of God's mouth, and his glory, the light that reveals darkness, corruption. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, There Must Be a Love for the Truth. It's not enough just to have a love for the word. Yes, that is important. But a love for the truth also. You have to have the word and truth, and truth and the word. We so often miss out that word truth, because we have to have a love for the word of God, what reveals the truth, what speaks about the nature and heart of man, that speaks about sin and how it has separated God from man. We have to have a love for the word that reveals the glory and the sovereignty and the majesty of God. There are a lot of people who like the word and who are around the word and labor in the word, but I raise that question whether they have a love for that which they study and which is revealed to them. Because you have to have that affection. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, being, then you love what he reveals, what he shows. All of this is essential. And that is what the apostle touches on here. And it's in the context of the last days and the rising of the Antichrist, that they will be deceived, they will be deluded, because they do not love the truth. And God, in that case, he says, he sends a strong delusion. They might know the word and they can quote the word, but he says he will send a strong delusion because they are not loving what God is revealing, what God is giving in the last days to give us wisdom, to give us faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. This is why the faith teaching is so essential. This is what sorts out the men from the boys, because we know that much of Christendom only goes so far with faith. But if we love the truth, then the truth also reveals to us to trust God. It doesn't matter whether you trust God taking your last breath. There are many of us saints and brothers and sisters who have trusted God right to their last breath. Why? Because they love the truth. And that is the difference. You've got to have the word of God and you've got to love the truth and the revelation that comes from it, no matter how much it challenges us. Whether it raises all these questions in our minds or whatever it would be, we have to settle on this, a love for the truth. And because of this, it says in verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And what's the lie? The deception of the Antichrist, the New World Order that is coming forward. Many love it and will love it because it's a lie, it's a deception. It's going to come revealing that it will give you a better life, a life where you will be provided and looked after and so on. There's the deception. If you don't believe me, you listen to the New Reset. You listen to what they're offering in the New World Order. Nobody in their right mind in the natural would reject it. You are going to be provided and looked for. You are going to be watched 24/7. You are going to be transhuman, where you will be connected up to the digital world, where they will be able to monitor your health, to see if your heart's in good condition, what your blood pressure is like, and so it goes on. All of this, they will monitor you 24/7. You will own nothing. They intend to take the houses, your houses away, so that they will provide and look after you and give you accommodation. You need to listen to what they're offering. The strong delusion. And this is why God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight in these last days, because we too can easily get sucked in to the deception of all of this. And why does that happen? Because there's not a love for the truth. We still, if we're honest, have problems with the truth of God's word. We still wrestle with it. We still don't find it easy. And that is where we have to inquire of God. We have to be honest with God and say, Lord, why am I still battling with areas that you are revealing in your word? We have to be honest, brothers and sisters, because honesty is your deliverance. It's where God then can start to work with you and to put those affections within your heart. This is why saints walk away for that very reason, because they do not love the truth. Oh, they say they love the word, but they do not love what is revealed from the word. And there is the difference. And he says that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So it says they didn't believe the truth. They didn't believe the warnings. They didn't listen to the prophets, the teachers, the preachers preaching by the anointing. We live in real times, brothers and sisters, and we cannot mess about any longer. And God wants to save us. He's perfecting now the sons of God as they're maturing in the faith. I'm reminded of Israel's rejection of their Messiah and his kingdom. Let's just glean a bit from this. I know we know it well, but look in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 24, which says, "But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Messiah came first for the house of Israel. He came establishing his kingdom. Not an organization, not an idea or whatever. He came to establish his kingdom. And they rejected it. They rejected him. They rejected his teaching. Why? They knew the word. Oh, they knew the law. But they didn't like the truth that the law revealed, that had to be brought out in his teaching, and so on. How about Mark? Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 and verse 33 to 34. Mark 4, 33 to 34. "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." Now, this is the message after they reject his teaching. When he started to see that they were rejecting his teaching, they were questioning it, they didn't have a love for the truth, he then started to preach and teach in parables for the very purpose so that their ears and eyes will be closed. That is fearful. They couldn't even discern what was going on there. God purposed that they would reject his son. Turn with me, if you will, back to Matthew. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11. Matthew 13, verses 10 and 11. "And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and he said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he will have is taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, and do they understand." And so it goes on. Wow, that's scary stuff there. when you read that. You see, if you haven't a love for the word and truth, then he will even take away what you had. So whatever you had, whatever revelation, whatever understanding you had, but you find yourself going back or looking to other means or other ministries or other churches or whatever it would be, then what you had, he will take away. And that's why I see so many of these people become deceived, and they go from place to place, minister to minister, ministry to ministry, because that is what is happening. And why? They do not have a love for the truth. They are questioning the truth when it comes out. They question the word when it's interpreted. Well, that's his interpretation. That's his opinion and so forth. And they cannot test the Spirit. They cannot test if that is the anointing that is ministering, that is speaking. You see, that is why the Lord said that my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And they are clear signs that one has been called from the foundation of the world. You see, nations and individuals can reach the place where there is no further opportunity to repent. When Israel rejected their Messiah, they were fulfilling prophecy. Did you know that? The apostle brings this out, which we've read there in 2 Thessalonians. And also, it's brought out in Isaiah chapter 6. Look what Isaiah was called for in his ministry. Very few were ever called in ministry to face what this man was going to face. And it says here, let's take it up. And firstly, he has his mouth, his tongue cleansed by fire. And then in verse 8, it says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Then he said, here I am, send me. So that's how you often are called, or how you respond. It's because you hear the call. You hear the response. You're hearing the truth. You're hearing the revelation of God's word being interpreted that is calling you to do something. I knew God was calling me, but I ran for nearly a year. A stupid thing to do. But God in his mercy and grace caught up with me. But I heard, I knew that calling. And eventually I was able to come to that place. Here am I, Lord, use me. And it's the same principle with each of us. And so he says, then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go, tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. And that is the problem. It was the problem with a lot who embrace the teaching of faith, the deeper life. Oh, they were mad about the word. And to an extent I was. But they were not so keen on understanding it. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy. And shall their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be blessed. God was saying here, they cannot return and be blessed in that condition, because that will deceive. It will deceive the world, the nations. And this is what God is always fighting against, working against in Christendom and in the house of God, because he doesn't want this deception. He doesn't want this Laodicean spirit that's neither hot nor cold. And he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because they do not want to understand. Did you know the faith teaching, the deeper life, has to be understood? And that is why the Holy Spirit comes to teach us, to anoint our understanding, to give us that knowledge and wisdom of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he goes on, Lord, how long? And so it is. That's what that prophet was called to do before he even started. He said, they will not hear you because they don't desire the love of the truth. And so when Messiah came, why was it such a shock that Israel rejected? It was already prophesied several thousand years earlier. But of course, they didn't know the word of God. And why do we get so shocked and offended and hurt that we see so many walk away? And we have, because the apostle, he has brought this out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8 to 12. It's all there. And this is why, if we love the truth of God's word that's revealed to us, then we have to keep it in our hearts. And let's just look at some scriptures we know so well, that I think you're going to look at these in a different light to what we're talking about here today. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 11. And he says here, your word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So to love this truth that's revealed to us by revelation, illumination in the word, we has to be hidden in our hearts. In other words, it has to be planted in the heart. And of course, we go back to the parable of the sower. One of the most important parables Jesus ever gave. And there he's revealing how important the word is to be sown in the heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. And the heart puts the emotion, the life, into the word which we hear. The love for the truth. Otherwise, if it's just in the head, there's not that love. You have your head filled with a lot of theology and words and scriptures, but no, very little love for the truth. And that is why when they hear the word anointed, preached, they become offended. Just like the Pharisees, the scribes, same problem. And this love for the word of God, this love for truth, will also guide us, as he says in verse 105 of Psalm 119. I know you know these well, but he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So because of that love of the truth, it guides me. It directs me. It's lighting up the way I should go. And yet you've got so many Christians who are confused. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do, and so on. That is not how God has called us. We know the way he's leading us because he lights up the path. God has lit lit up the path so that we be here today fellowshipping in this room. It's not rocket science. We're here today because it's not only the Word, but we love the Word of God. We love the truth, even though it's got my name and address on, and most meetings it has. Thank God for it. I want the truth to set me free. And so we know where we should be. We should be around the presence of the Lord. If God has baptized us into this body, we should know where we should be. But those who veered off and gone off, I tell you why, there wasn't a love for the truth. And they were offended by the truth and looked for any excuse to get out of it. It's serious stuff. And what they did have, sadly, they lose. It goes. They no longer embrace the deeper life, the walking of faith any longer. It's easier to go and trust in the arm of the flesh in everything. And that's exactly what the Antichrist system, the new world, is coming forth with. Why is it called the New World Order? They're not stupid, you know. You have to present something to sell it, to appeal to people. And that's what they're coming with all their lies and deceptions. And sadly, most will fall for it. I saw something today which was interesting. Somebody wrote and said, why is it so many Christians took the mRNA vaccine? Why is it they couldn't discern? Why is it they couldn't see? And this is a person, whether a Christian or not, I don't know, was raising a very good, legitimate question. And I found I had to answer it. And I said, because there's not a love for the truth. There's a famine in the land of hearing the word which Amos speaks of. And sadly, Christendom has created a lot of that famine because they do not have a love of the truth to set them free. It's sad. But it shouldn't be a shock to us because the apostle is telling us what is happening and will happen. Isaiah was telling God's people what will happen when Messiah comes. But because there's not a love for the truth, they're hurt, they're offended, and so on. But we shouldn't be. Oh, we find it difficult. We find it hard. Lord, we find that we cry out to God to have mercy and grace. That is absolutely right. But we're not offended by it. And there is the difference. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. You see, if you love the Word of God, you love truth, then you can understand what God says in John 17, verse 17, what our Lord says here in John 17 and verse 17. And he says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So he brings with the word the truth, what he said, as challenging as it may be at times. But it is truth, and truth always hurts. That's why it says in Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Not always easy. And this is why the whole world is held in darkness by the enemy, the God of this world, who blinds the eyes. And he does it because there's not a love for the truth. But praise God, the whole universe, the whole world is held by the power of God's word. So God is always one step ahead, is he not? And we know this by Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, in which he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah. So it says that he holds all things by the word of his power. We're held today by the word of his power, ministering into our lives. Everything exists and is held together by his word. And so it is so important that we have a love and affection for the word and for the truth that the word reveals. How about Revelation 19? You know these all very well, but I'm stressing as I bring this to a conclusion about this love for the truth. Revelation 19 and verse 13, in which he says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. He is the Word. You cannot separate the Word from God. He spoke the Word, and all came into being. And it's all held by the power of his word. And I want to reveal something in our favorite psalm, which we read often, Psalm 91. I like to call this my assurance policy. No insurance could ever put what is put in Psalm 91. And look what it says in Psalm 91 and verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And isn't it wonderful how God continues to reveal and go deeper with the word, isn't it? It's like that onion is taking a layer after layer after layer, peeling it away. And he says his truth, not just the word, but the word that reveals truth, shall be your shield and buckler. And that is what protects you. That's what keeps you with this walk. What's what helps you to endure, to remain faithful, because you have the armor protecting you. And the armor is because you love truth. That is your protection. And that is why, with that armor, we're able to wield that warfare against the powers of darkness. And they hate your prayers and warfare. Why? Because it's not only the word. And Satan can quote the word. He quoted it to Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And he quoted it right, but Jesus revealed he had a love for the truth. So it's the word that reveals the truth that we don't reject shall be your shield and buckler. And sometimes we're not always aware we're rejecting the word of God until God exposes. We think because we can quote it, that's good enough. It isn't. It has to come from the heart. And a love for truth comes from the heart, not the head. And there's the difference. So the truth of his word is our shield and buckler. And that's why we're able to get into warfare effectively. And that's why Satan hates it. And that's why he tries to fight like he does. But he can't come against that. You've already got the victory when the love of the truth is in your heart and is established. What does it say in John 8? John 8 and verse 32. John 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here you go. He's emphasizing what the word of God must do. The revelation of the word, the power in the word, the life in the word of healing, deliverance, salvation, so that you know it, you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Free from what? Deception. The lies of the enemy. And that's why those go back like they do, because they've listened to the lies of the enemy. And finally, John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. In other words, he's speaking, he's expounding the word. He's giving you revelation, illumination, so that you embrace the truth of it. That's what the Lord's saying. And some hear that and some don't. Some have ears and eyes and hearts open for that, and others don't. And if they do not love the truth, then what revelation they have, whatever blessing they've had or anything or whatever it will be removed and taken, for they are not lovers of the truth. And the truth can come in many, many ways. We have to discern these closing days. We have to observe that Jesus told us to do in Matthew 24. And we have to expound. We have to use words. We have to use scripture and expound on the scriptures. And that is where the offense comes. That's where we have a problem with it. And why do we have a problem? Because we don't really love the truth enough. I still want to believe that lie somehow. I can't embrace it. It's just too hard. It's too painful. I want to bury my head in the sand, and I want it to go away. And it never will. And it's not going to. And that's why God says, my grace is sufficient. Whatever God gives us, even this word today, as challenging as it is, and I found it challenging, but God says, my grace is sufficient for you to embrace and take this word for the purpose so you love the truth. that the word reveals. Very important, brothers and sisters. So there we are. There must be a love for the truth. And I trust that this has helped, encouraged and ministered to you. And that, yes, it may be exposing, but that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a sign that God loves us. He doesn't want us to be deceived or to deceive ourselves. And that is the worst thing. We too often deceive ourselves. And of course, the enemy gets right in there as quick as anything. Well, there we are. Praise God, he's merciful and gracious. And Father, we do thank you for speaking to us in the manner that you have done. Lord, place within our hearts that love for the truth, however it comes, whenever it comes, or whoever is revealing that truth. Lord, may we embrace it, because it is our discernment. It guides us. It causes us to hear what the Spirit is saying. It also enables us to be effective in our warfare. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you that you are setting the captives free in these last days. And so, Lord, bless, preserve, ever keep my brothers and sisters. Keep them in the love and the truth of your word. Guide their feet daily. Lord, may they learn and understand more the knowledge and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and in their heart. And may they be used for your glory in these last days. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy fall.